Welcome to episode 561 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Sandy, and Anna. Switzerland is filled with some of the most gorgeous scenery on the planet. One of the best ways to see it is by Swiss Rail, and you may have heard about the Glacier Express. The Glacier Express is synonymous with the Swiss Alps and travels between Zermatt and Saint Moritz. Excuse me, I just mispronounced that terribly. Brooke, who is another one of our wonderful Outlander travel agents, took her family on the Glacier Express, and she is here to tell us all about this remarkable journey. So let's get started. So this is a big bucket list for me. And I think when we planned this podcast, Donna also said it was a huge one for her too. Is that correct, yeah, Donna?
Jeff has been talking about the Glacier Express as long as I've known him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun.
Big bucket list. So I'm just curious. I'm going right off script right away. How did you choose this? Why did you decide to do the Glacier Express? Was it a bucket list for you?
It was not, actually. but it was for my stepfather. So my mom and her husband were coming to Germany to visit us and to attend my son's graduation. And when they were here 3 years ago, I took them on a 5-night Mediterranean cruise, and we did a few other country things. And his goal, and one of his goals in life, is to see as many countries as humanly possible and as many states in the United States. And, you know, they're in their 70s. They're getting to the point where they can't travel too easily or too far. And so he said, if we're coming all that way, I want to tick off Austria, which is very easy from Germany, and Switzerland. And he had a couple other things on his list, but we had to pull it in a little.
Yeah.
So when we were looking at Switzerland, I was like, it is super expensive. You know, we're talking about things. He's like, I heard there's a train there. And I'm like, there is a train there. And so that's kind of how it all happened. Yeah. So he was kind of like, you know, he had heard about the train and he read about it. He thought it looked really cool. He didn't know the significance of this train, though. Like, he didn't know how popular it was. He just, I think in his mind, he thought it was like the Deutsche Bahn, right?
Oh,
better
yeah,
scenery,
like,
but
train.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, so talk a little bit about the logistics of this train, because it's not really a route that you would normally do to get from one place to another. It really is a scenic route, correct? So talk a little bit about the logistics of it.
Definitely. Because it's traveling, you know, quite a distance, it is treated kind of like a regular, like you can bring your luggage on it. There's luggage storage and there's power in the seats and it's all assigned seating and all that kind of thing. But it is like way more luxurious because the seats are far more comfortable. There's an app that you, or it's kind of like more like a website that you open that looks like an app on your phone that's kind of telling you a little bit about your journey. There's servers on board, which is normal on, you know, most high speed trains in Europe, but, you know, it's far more of an experience than just, you know, your regular train travel. So, and then plus, of course, the huge, massive panoramic windows. So you can take in all of the sights, the entire, like literally the entire journey you are looking at. You're looking at incredible. It's like, you can't even capture it. It is just, it's breathtaking. It's hard to put into words. Like every time you like went anywhere, everyone's like, oh, like the whole train. And these are people on the train. There was people from everywhere. I just thought I'll be around a whole bunch of American tourists, but no, there was tourists. Literally, there was people from Korea on our train. There were people from Italy. There were people from France. There were people from Spain, Americans. I was sitting with some Germans, you know, it was just, they were, the whole world wants to go through Switzerland on this train and see the sights because it's so incredible.
Yeah. I can't wait. So you mentioned the servers, and they are in all classes on the train. What class of service were you in?
We were in second class. We honestly didn't even have a choice by the time we booked. We were honestly very lucky to get the tickets at all because as I tend to roll, it was booked pretty last minute. And we couldn't even get window seats at that point. We literally got the last 5 seats on the train. And we ended up, And so second, I mean, the trains definitely fill up. And I can't say that for all seasons, but, you know, this was the beginning of summer. So, it was busy. So our seats were all aisle seats, but we had two across from each other and then one person across from that duo and then two more people across from each other right behind them. So it worked out. We were kind of all together. And honestly, like, ideally, you'll be at a window, but it's not crucial because the sights are so big that you're looking out the window and you can see everything and enjoy it. If you want pictures and video and that kind of thing, it's a lot easier if there's not a head in your way or another person. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't terrible being on the aisle seat. So don't be like, oh, we can't do it if that's all that's left. I would still book it. And I peeked into the first class cabin once we got to Zermatt. You know, I was like, the train was about to leave. And I'm like, let me just in. Like, really quick. Like, let me just pop it. Like, trying to, you know, pull the travel agent card. Like, let me just get a picture. And the biggest difference that I could tell, you know, just sight by sight, was that the seats, instead of two and two, surround, you know, there's four seats that surround a table. They're both facing each other in second class. There's like four and four, I guess I should say. So you have an aisle down the middle, four seats. They're all facing each other. There's a table between. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. First class is you have that group of four, and then you have a group of two on the other side. So if you're in the, if you're just there with, you know, your partner or a friend, doing that just two by two would be a lot more comfortable. You just have more elbow room, and it's just you guys. You're not sitting by strangers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest by sight that I could see. The windows appeared the same. The seats appeared the same. That kind of thing.
I think the service is definitely upgraded as well. It's a little,
yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Old crane service, kind of. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So you, when you said you booked this last minute, we haven't talked about this yet, but there's a couple places you can board the train. Did you board it in Chur because that was easier for you, or was it because of availability?
It was actually available for the whole route, which surprised me. It was more of logistics coming from here and coming from where we live in Germany, and the overall price, because it is an expensive journey. To be incredibly honest, my husband and my stepfather arranged everything without the travel agent looking over their shoulder.
Oh.
As soon as I saw the tickets, I thought,
you saying that the travel agent might have done it a little differently?
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
Because there's a really iconic section that we did miss. In the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. We saw so much that was amazing. So if you cannot do the whole journey, honestly, still do it. It's so worth it. Like, if I wouldn't have known, I wouldn't have missed it. You know, it's like,
right,
we didn't miss anything. It was fantastic. You know, so, but yeah, I would have done it a little bit differently. But logistically, it did make sense for us to not board in, is it St. Moritz? Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay.
That and sense. The town, it's, I say it Chur, C-H-U-R, but I know it's pronounced more like core. It's pronounced like core with a soft O. I'm probably still saying it wrong. That town was incredible. So
really?
That was a real treat. It was really, really pretty. It was breathtaking. Yeah. And it's actually the oldest city in Switzerland, I believe. And it's the, like, the diocese, the seat of the diocese. And it has a lot of history. It was breathtaking. I'm like, if the train is anything like this town, this is going to be completely magical. Like, it was beautiful. Yeah. We had really good fondue there too, that I'll never forget. That was magical.
Yeah. And did you drop the mortgage at your house to pay the bill at the end of the meal?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. And the hotels, like, we stayed in we were very lucky to even get hotels, quite honestly, on the route, because they sell out very quickly. We had a very basic hotel in Chur, Chur, whatever you want to say it. And it was, I want to say $250 a night. And it was super basic, like super basic. So it was fine for a night. It was fine. But, yeah.
Well, and the train really runs between St. Moritz and Zermatt. And if you've ever heard those names, you know that they're not cheap cities. I mean, those are like grounds for the rich and famous. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, and you were there in the summer. So would you say, like, obviously you can't compare it to views later or earlier in the season when there's maybe probably more snow, but it is through the Alps. So did you feel like you had that dramatic, the same, like, do you feel like you might've missed something by going in the summer rather than say March or October?
Not at all. Maybe October though. That would be really pretty. But no, I mean, it was beautiful and we had such good weather. The sun was shining. And so, and the, like, it was so green, like the grass and all the towns that we went through was so, so green. There was flowers and there was like animals out. So we saw a lot of animals in the fields and that kind of thing. But then the mountains were absolutely breathtaking, still had snow on them. We could see the glaciers, all of that. It was, yeah, no, I don't feel like we missed a thing. October would be phenomenal though, with the changing of the leaves and that kind of thing. That would be very cool.
Yeah. How long is the train ride?
I want to say it was 6.5 hours, but I think from
if you do the whole one, I think it's like eight. Yeah.
So you do it in one day though. It's not like you're getting off and getting back on. Okay.
No. It's a long day. So there's like food served on the train. You can order it in advance. You can actually order it as part of your ticket and that kind of thing, or you can bring your own food. Either way, or you can even order once you're on the train. Cause I did both. I brought my own and ordered.
Can you bring your own, like, can you bring like wine and beer on board too?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm liking that.
Sure can.
Europe doesn't have the same laws. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yep. They're totally down with that. So how was the food on the train? The food that you ordered on the train?
I had coffee and cake. So it was delicious. Okay. It is your typical like Swiss German food. And I get a lot of that. And so I opted out of that food. I think it would be like, it would top the experience though, if you were being a tourist here and just to have the food of the region while you went through it. Like, I think that'd be really cool. And the cake was great. So if that was any indication of, yeah, but they do cake really, really well in this region. So don't miss that. Mm-hmm. Buy the cake.
I mean, twist my arm.
Right?
Must get, I was like, cake. It's for research purposes. I have to tell them on the podcast, you know, I have to try the cake.
So we appreciate your sacrifice.
Yes,
exactly. No problem.
It's important. Well, and nobody here is surprised that coffee was also one of your choices, but that's just a must do. So, but it is, I will tell you that my experience with Swiss train food has only been the train station, and I had probably the best sandwich I've ever had in my life there. It completely surprised me. It might've been because I was hungry. I just ordered what, you know, and we had 5 minutes to get between and I needed food. And so we grabbed a sandwich at the train station in Basel and it was delicious. But anyway, talk to us a little bit about some of the highlights of what you saw. We've talked about how great the views are, but there's very specific things along the way that you see. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. One of the first things that you, well, coming from Turk, where you go through the Rhine Gorge, which is the Swiss Grand Canyon, that's what they call it. And so it's like, you can imagine what it looks like as like these sheer rock walls with the river going through it. So it's absolutely beautiful. Like 2 seconds after you get on the train, everyone has their cameras out and is freaking out. And that was very cool. Some of the other points I didn't know what we were looking at until like later on, I looked back at my pictures and could see, you know, where we were along the route, or if I opened the app, then I could see exactly where we were. But like, there's all these little tiny towns. The one was called, if I'm saying it right, Andermatt. That's probably correct because it's German as well. Andermatt. It's a little tiny village, and that you could get out. We got out there and we stretched for like 20 minutes. But it all around it was phenomenal. Like it comes. I believe it's at the end of the Oberlat Pass, which is the highest point in the train. So, you know, you're going uphill up the mountain basically, and then you're at the top. It's and just all around you is these incredible peaks, and then the valleys too, they're just like so green and lush. It was phenomenal. And we went through all these different tunnels. The one is called the Furka Tunnel, if I'm saying that correctly. That one is kind of famous, I guess. I had never heard of it until there, but they kind of made a big deal out of it. That is the one that allowed the Glacier Express to run year round, though. I think that's why they were, you know, emphasizing this important tunnel before, you know, the snow would stop it from running. So this allowed them to pass through. And it was only built in the 80s too. So it's not even that old. So yeah, it's kind of a recent thing, but there was tons and tons and tons of tunnels. I want to say there was over 90 that we went through, and some are very short. Yeah.
So it was kind of,
wow. It was fascinating. Yeah. You really could feel you're going really through cool. The mountains and winding through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Kipfin Gorge is getting closer to Zermatt, but it was beautiful. Oh my gosh. The train is running right along this river that's running, and it's like cascading down, and then there's mountains just straight up. Phenomenal. So yeah, if you've ever walked through a gorge and just riding the train through it and it's on both sides of you, it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then the Bisque Glacier I thought was very, very cool too. And that's almost towards the end. You can see the glacier on top of the mountain. It's not far from you at all. Like we could see glaciers in the distance on all the mountains and the snow capped peaks and all that. But this glacier is like basically right outside the train. And you could see it. You could see the top, you could see the entire glacier on top of the mountain, and you could see the waterfall all the way down from the glacier all the way to the ground, which was phenomenal. Yeah. It was so cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I had, I've seen glaciers and we saw them in Alaska and that kind of thing. But this was just, it was something else. Like that was just, and it was so green all around it. It was beautiful. Yeah. And of course, Zermatt was insane, where the train ends. Just, it's like a fairy tale. That's beautiful.
Did you stay there overnight?
We did. We stayed for 2 nights, actually. I thought, if we're going that far, let's just do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very nice. So anything else? Sorry. Ooh, caught me with a yawn. Anything else that you wanted to talk to us about? You want to tell us a little bit about the Matterhorn? I bet that was a big highlight for your Disney-loving self.
Yes. And we didn't even need a lightning lane.
You could see it from everywhere.
There's no line. Yeah. The first day we got there, we got off the train and we got settled in our hotel, which was a nicer hotel. And I can't even remember what we paid, but it was probably close to $500 a night. So it's like,
yeah.
And it wasn't like high end by any means. It was a nicer hotel. I'd probably call it maybe 3.5-4 star. Yeah, it was about $500 a night. So it was, it was not cheap. And it was in the main city. So totally worth it because the entire town is walkable. There's no cars. They have these little buses, these little electric buses everywhere that are also taxis and that kind of thing. And you can take like the public bus and it doesn't cost anything from end to end, which was nice for my mom because she can't walk that far. And so she just hopped on the bus and she went down to the Matterhorn. It was very easy from our hotel. But the first night we were there, we just grabbed dinner and then we walked, my husband and son and I, we all walked down to where you could really see the Matterhorn. It was a perfectly clear night. It was unreal. It was unreal. Like we couldn't stop taking pictures of it. And there's stray cats kind of around and they're so cute. And that just enhanced it all because there's little kitties. Yeah. It
was great. The mountain's great, but now there's also cats. But
there's cats. Yeah, it felt surreal. Like, how is this real? And the entire town is like a freaking postcard. It is like, think of the most like, think of what you think of like a little tiny Swiss town, like you're in your daydream. That's what it was. Like, that is what everything is modeled. It has to be. Like, it is, it felt like you're inside a cuckoo clock. Like, it was just.
That's what I was thinking. Beautiful. Cuckoo clocks? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It really, really was. So charming. Everywhere you look. And there's like, there's tons of restaurants, there's tons of bars, tons of stores. There's a lot of things to do too. You could spend a whole week there if you wanted to. There's museums, there's hiking trails, there's a train that goes up the mountain, there's a gondola that goes up the mountain. There's all sorts of things to do.
Did you fly home from there?
We didn't. We took the train.
Oh, okay.
Just the train in such a short amount of time.
Well, you know they also have skiing there too.
Yes, of course. Yes. And that would be amazing. It has to be outrageously expensive, but how incredible would that be to go ski in there? Like,
I have literally never wanted to ski in my life, but when we were in Switzerland, we were at Interlock and we weren't at the Matterhorn or in the Zermatt area, but we both looked at each other and was like, okay, I see the appeal now. If I'm ever going to ski, I would want to ski here. Of course, that's probably not really a bunny slope, but.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
Maybe snowshoeing.
Yeah.
The second day we were there, it was a little more cloudy. It rained a little bit, but it's still, just breathtaking. We decided to hike the gorge there. It's called the Gorner Gorge. And it was funny because, you know, just out of curiosity, I pulled up ChatGPT and I said, what are things to do for my mom in Zermatt? She can't walk well. She uses a cane. She walks slowly. And it suggested the gorge.
Oh. Okay.
And she did not come with us. And thank goodness I did not trust it because it was very, very, very wrong.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's why you don't trust ChatGPT to plan your vacation. Yeah.
Exactly. I was so curious what it would say, and it was so wrong. Yeah. It was like, yeah, a leisurely walk along the,
I love that you test it like that because I love having those examples. That's funny.
Even getting to the gorge was like straight uphill. Like I had to stop and take a break just to get to the entrance of this place. Like it was legit.
I do like easy walk is so subjective, you know, because that's, you know, when, if I'm with my kids and they're like, we're going to do this hike and my Marcus will say, oh, it's an easy hike. I'm like, I don't believe you. Like, I don't believe you. You need to show me physical proof of that before I go on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we did the gorge, but I'm really glad we left my mom behind too. Like it would be something I would recommend if you wanted a hike because we went through the whole thing, lots of stairs, lots and lots and lots of stairs. She would have never been able to do it. She really physically wouldn't have been able to do it. And then we went beyond that and we walked further on the hiking trails that extend beyond it. And we ended up crossing over the gorge again on a bridge and then walking up to this little like literally alpine village called the Blatten. And they have a church, this little tiny Catholic church and a restaurant. And so we sat and had lunch at the restaurant with views of the Matterhorn.
Oh,
I was like, what is this life? What is this? Yeah. So magical.
Are you sure you want to go back to the United States? Are you sure?
Yeah, seriously.
The sun was shining on us and we're like drinking or having beer in the sunshine. I was like, this is so great. It was so nice.
Amazing. So what did your mom truly do? She just stay at the hotel? She didn't find anything else to?
Yeah, they hung out at the hotel. They relaxed, but then they also did some shopping. And so, and they took the little local bus to, there's like a, I don't know if you want to call it a park, but it's a little area kind of at the end of town overlooking the Matterhorn. It has about five benches. And so they sat there and they just watched the world go by. And they watched the clouds go over the Matterhorn and just enjoyed the sunshine. And, you know, they loved it. They said it was completely like just what, and they did a little bit of souvenir shopping and
I can
see. They had a great day too.
I would have happily sat with them on that bench.
Yeah. Well, Rick too, my stepdad, he's a photographer or in his, you know, in his former career, he was a photographer. And so he just loved standing there and like getting pictures of it. And, you know, the clouds moving over and the clouds going away and the clouds coming back and people walking, you saw people, you know, you saw everyone from little kids in strollers going towards the Matterhorn to like hikers coming down off it or bikers, even people were biking the Matterhorn, which is wild to me. Yeah. So it was really fun to just people watch too.
That's cool.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. No, so Disneyland in all, like,
the only one I'm going to climb.
What's that?
The Disneyland Matterhorn is the only one I'm ever going to climb. And I'm going to do that.
Yeah. We came close enough. Like, I was like, I can't imagine going any higher than this. Like, yeah. We still were so far away. Oh, one other thing. While we were sitting there having lunch, there was helicopter tours. That was really cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So they actually landed in the grass that wasn't too far. It wasn't distracting while we were eating or anything, but it wasn't too far away from us. We saw them land, but then they circled up by the Matterhorn and they came around. Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Very cool.
So that would be a fun way to see it.
That would be neat.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, Brooke, for joining us and sharing your experience. I'm just a little jealous that you got to do it before I did. But one day. Mm-hmm. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Anna, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.